From the time Austria was occupied by Germany, Jews here desperately looked for ways out of the Third Reich. They scattered around Europe, some made it to Mandate-era Palestine, some found refuge in Shanghai, others went as far as South America. Tanya Eckstein interviewed Kitty Drill for us in 2005. And when Kitty was but 5 years old, she and eight members of her family found themselves in a place you can hardly believe.
Today, people love to go to the island of Mauritius in the Indian Ocean. Gorgeous beaches, nice restaurants, elegant hotels, and it's not cheap. I lived in Mauritius too, for 4 years, and me and my family didn't pay a penny. But we weren't on holiday. We were, in fact, in prison. This is surely one of the oddest stories of the Holocaust I think you'll ever hear. I was born in 1934, the only child of Karl and Etel Drill. We were not city folk. We lived in La Andataya, a very pretty small town right near the Austrian-Czech border. And I come from a family of horse and cattle dealers and fruit growers. And living in small towns like ours, we got along very well with our neighbours. Life was quiet. I remember my grandmother and my mum would lean out of the window of their kitchen on weekends to chat and gossip with their neighbours. That was their main entertainment then. But times turned bitter for all of us in March 1938. The Germans took over Austria. Everything changed overnight. We were forced to leave La for Vienna, and immediately Vienna began turning very ugly for Jews. Even as a five-year-old, I could sense it. Then, one day, my mother came home. She was in shock, white as a ghost. She told us she had been walking on the streets, and she watched as Austrians stood around laughing, as they made a group of Jews clean the sidewalk on their hands and knees. No one had spotted her. She hurried home. Like all Jews, our family was desperate to get out of the Third Reich. We watched other families split up. Parents were sending their children on kinder transports. Others were dividing themselves up because they had to. We saw families crying and saying their goodbyes because since no one wanted grandparents, they often stayed behind. But my family said no, we were staying together. There were eight of us, two grandmothers, a grandfather, two uncles, my parents, and me. One day in late summer 1940, we found out about a ship heading down the Danube for the Black Sea. And from there, we could change to another ship and head for Palestine. Since I was so young, I don't remember how many days it took, but we arrived in the Romanian port of Tulcea in September 1940. We found a madhouse. There were over 3,500 Jews there, all desperate to get out. From Austria, from Czechoslovakia, from Germany. They boarded us on three ships, the Pacific, the Milos, and the Atlantic. And we were sent to the Atlantic. There were at least 1,800 of us. People were crowded all over the decks, slept outside, in the hold, in cabins. We left Tulcea at the end of September. Finally, on the 24th of November, we arrived in the harbour in Haifa. We could see the end of this torment. And then, British ships blocked our way. After all, we were illegally trying to enter. We had not been given permission. But does someone need permission? To run out of a burning building? Many of the refugees were transferred to another ship, the Patria, which the British planned to send to Mauritius, an island in the Indian Ocean, a British colony. But to stop it from leaving and make sure Jews could stay in Palestine, the Zionist underground militia, the Haganah, put a bomb on the Patria just to disable it. But the bomb was too big. The ship sank, and more than 200 Jewish refugees went down with the ship. That included my 7-year-old cousin, Richie Eisinger, and his mother. Then, more than 1,500 of us were put onto another ship, and we sailed off. On the 26th of December 1940, we reached Mauritius, a gorgeous island of white beaches, palm trees, and blue waters, and the massive prison barracks of Bobasso, just for us. This would be our home for the next 4.5 years. Please don't misunderstand me. What was happening in Europe was hell itself. Countless friends and family were being murdered. So our problems could never be compared. But think of this. Of all those in Mauritius, most of us had no contact with families back in Europe. There was little post, little news. Health conditions were not good, and 128 people died of typhus or malaria, including my own grandfather. No wonder there were suicides of those who couldn't bear the separation. Men and women were kept apart at the beginning, but after a few months they let families live together, and soon 60 babies were born. In fact, the British soon eased restrictions on all of us, and the grown-ups organised a school for us, and youth clubs too. They started printing their own newspaper. Everyone brought their books together to open a library. And of course there was a choir and a football team. I even took piano lessons. Of course, there were two synagogues on our island, one for the Orthodox, the other for the Reform. And we seemed to live between worlds. On the one hand, we really were prisoners because we tried to enter Palestine illegally. But on the other hand, dozens of young Czech Jewish men living with us asked to join the British Army so they could go and fight the Germans. And they did. As the months turned into years, everyone on Mauritius scrambled to make a living, just to earn something to buy a bit of extra food. And being from Austria, my family opened, what else? A makeshift coffee house. It was set in a rusty old barracks, and we used a ping-pong table to serve on. The war ended in May 1945. And in August, ships arrived to take us to the place we'd been trying to get to for years. Palestine. We did our best to settle into yet another place. We lived in Tel Aviv, then Holon. But life was so hard. And I remember the adults in our family arguing, should we stay in Palestine or go back to what we knew, in Austria? But then something awful happened. My mother developed cancer, and it took her quickly. At the age of 42, we buried her. All while her mother sobbed, "Why not me? Why not me?" We buried Etel Drill just outside Holon. Then we packed our things and left for Austria. I was 12 years old when we arrived in Vienna, but didn't think of myself as a child anymore. I was, however, a stranger. I was used to going to school in Hebrew. Suddenly, everyone around me was speaking German. I went back to school. My father wanted me to have a trade, so I went to a training school for hotel workers. In 1958, a very nice woman I know asked if I might be interested in meeting her son. I was intrigued. I said, yes. His name was Herbert. He was a few years older than me, and he and his entire family were sent into Nazi hell. His father did not survive. But Herbert and his mother came back to Vienna. I was looking for someone. He was looking for a partner too. I can't say it was love at first sight, but our love did grow, and soon I realized I had found a partner for life. In fact, that partnership lasted more than 60 years, until I lost Herbert, aged 95, in 2021. We had two children. We were always active in our Jewish community, especially in our swimming club, Hakoah, and I organized hiking trips every year. Religious, or observant, if you will. No, that wasn't us. But we are comfortable inside our Jewish community. We always have been. That has never changed. As far as Austria goes, those families who went through what ours did, it wasn't easy to find our place here. But in time we have, especially with the Viennese, we feel we belong here. But still, once you've lost your homeland, or should I say, been chased out of it, there's always that feeling of uncertainty, of not really knowing. And that is something that has stayed with me until now.
Kitty Drill was read for us by Julia Franklin in London. Sound design and music was by Ivo Spasov and Sophia. Kitty was interviewed for us by Tanya Eckstein in 2005.